This is y nada más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. Starting out there with some old Viking music, pretty much, because we are Los Vikingos, and I am obsessed with Viking culture here and there. So anyway, you know, it's crunch time. That's the name of this podcast. It's crunch time. This week is really going to be very determining in what is going to happen for our season. Before we get started with that, you can always follow us, as you guys should know by now. Y Nada Más podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, pretty much wherever podcasts are found. You can find us there. In addition, remember to leave a review. Please help us rise up in the ranks within Apple Podcasts if you are listening to us through there. There's also a link. I've posted it on my Twitter. I'll probably post it again on the Y Nada Más podcast Twitter sometime later this week. But there's also other link on our Instagram account so that you guys can follow the podcast and leave a review as well. All you have to do if you want to leave a review for us, which helps us out a lot, is go to lovethepodcast.com/ Y Nada Más podcast. So that's the best way to leave a review. Like I said, it really helps us rise up the ranks and helps us get more views. So we would really appreciate that. In addition to that, guys, you can always follow me personally. I'm always involved. I'm always pretty active on the Twitter account for Y Nada Más, which is at Y Nada Más podcast. So check it out there. And then also we are active on our Instagram, which is YNM podcast at YNM podcast. We're trying to get more people there. We had a previous account. It was shut down. You know, we posted a video and we got busted for copyright infringement. So not doing that now. But we are posting images and things like that of, you know, the games and Real Madrid and some designs from our in-house graphic designer and myself. So check us out there. You know, help us grow there on Instagram as well. You know, we really appreciate that. And then Facebook is really, you know, we're just growing on our Facebook account. We are looking into doing some more things that are of interest to all of you, I think, which it would be Facebook Lives at some point, possibly made a YouTube Live. You know, I'm going to be more involved. So I wanted to talk about that for a second. So I'm going to be more involved. You can check out, our, channel actually on YouTube, which is youtube.com/ Y Nada Más podcast. There's nothing there right now because I haven't started pretty much doing anything there. I was doing things for Real Madrid Hub, as you guys know. Real Madrid Hub is the channel of my good friend Jota Real Madrid. He has various channels in Spanish. He just released another channel in Spanish called Jota Champions, where he's going to focus on all information regarding the Champions League and Super League or whatever ends up happening with the competition. But so he's got Jota Champions, he's got Jota Real Madrid, which those two are all news in Spanish. And then he has Real Madrid Hub, which I was helping him out with. And I will try to see if we've been discussing how I can help him out in the future. But it's just something that's taking a lot of time for me. He focuses so much on it. I can't recommend it enough. Check it out on YouTube, Real Madrid Hub. He is posting, I think, anywhere between 5 to 8 videos per day about all the news coming out of Madrid. He is originally from Spain. He is he's based in Texas, but he's originally from Spain. So he's obviously in touch with a lot of the press coming out of Spain. So you know, check him for a lot of the updates there. It's constant. It's coming out. He's always doing it. And, you know, we will have him on the podcast again at some point. But I would really recommend that channel. And I'm going to try to help him out more in the future. We're going to try to figure out what else we can do. You know, his pace is very difficult for me, considering things are starting to go back to, you know, thankfully here in the United States, things are starting to go back a little bit more to normal. You know, I've been working from home over a year. That's how this podcast started. And essentially, at this point, it seems like I will be headed back to the office at some point in June or July, which means, you know, I'm not going to have as much time during the week to do this, which is why the podcast is once a week. And I do it on the weekends. So that's just kind of letting you guys know what's going on. And then anyway, one thing I wanted to say before we go into, you know, all the podcast about, you know, the results and, you know, the upcoming games and everything like that. I really want to give a shout out to my good friend Trombach. You know, he's going to be he's in Calcutta, India, Kolkata. He is going to be helping me out with a few more things. I'm actually trying to bring him on a little bit more occasionally on the podcast. He's, you know, hardworking kid, wants to do some more stuff with Real Madrid. And, you know, I would love to have somebody to bounce ideas off of while sometimes when I'm on the podcast, somebody to speak to and they can give their opinions as well. So we're going to be trying to do that as moving forward. Occasionally, I'm going to bring him on as well. And we're trying to see if we can do, like I said, the Facebook Lives. Instagram Live is another thing I want to get into, but I don't want to do it until we have more followers on our Instagram account. So whatever you guys think, you know, if you want to, you know, have suggestions of some more content you might want to see from us, but that's one of the ideas that I have. And then, like I said, doing some videos for our YouTube channel, similar to what I was doing at Real Madrid Hub, but I would do what I would call like a Friday news recap of the news that has come out from Spain about Real Madrid and things like that. Kind of what I was doing at Real Madrid Hub, but I would only be doing it once a week, mostly on Fridays. Or maybe sometimes during the week. So that would supplement the podcast. So working on that as well. But that's it. But besides that, one of the things that I thought was important is, you know, this whole coronavirus thing here in the United States, it's been starting to return to normal and all that. But a lot of you guys that listen to me, you know, for one reason or another, you know, some of our biggest amount of listeners is in India. And I know you guys, India is going through a hard time right now with coronavirus, a lot of cases, a lot of deaths. The numbers seem pretty much astronomical at this point. It's pretty scary. You know, and then even Trombach was telling me, you know, people close to him and everything were getting sick. And, I see all sorts of stuff out there, on the news. I don't know how tough it is. Because, you know, news media here was going to paint the picture based on their information from here in the United States. I don't know how it is there locally, but seems locally it's pretty much it's pretty catastrophic at some point in some places. So, you know, shout out to all of you guys out there. Stay safe. You know, wear your masks. Get the vaccine when you can. You know, do all the protocols, all the things that you can do to get away from it. I myself caught COVID. It was not fun. You know, they say it's a flu or whatever, but it was pretty brutal. It sucked. And then, you know, you can have all sorts of different complications. You know, some people are lucky that they don't get them. Some people unfortunately do get bigger complications, up to and possibly, you know, one of the unfortunate, you know, one of the fortunate worst consequences is obviously death. So, you know, stay safe, keep your loved ones close and, you know, help them, make sure, you know, you're taking care of yourselves and taking care of each other, to avoid this thing out there and anywhere where you guys are still, you know, on lockdown and all that kind of stuff. So, we're kind of getting out of it, but it's still a big deal. So my heart goes out to all of you guys. Anywhere you are, whether, you know, it's affected your job, your life, you know, whatever, your studies, you know, hopefully this will all come to an end soon. So with that said, guys, let's go to happier things. Obviously, this is, like I said, the reason this podcast is called Crunch Time, this episode is called Crunch Time, is because that is where we are. You know, just when we thought, just when we thought that Real Madrid was kind of going to turn its focus away from La Liga because, you know, Barcelona seemed to be in a good spot to kind of take La Liga. You know, this league has not been one. It's not one that we can really, even as a Madridista, that we can feel 100% confident in. And it's going to go down to the wire. However, I'm recording this on Monday afternoon. You know, I had things to do on Sunday, so unfortunately it's a day late, but I hope you guys don't shoot me for that. But, you know, I also wanted to see what the results would be with the other big player that was in the running, which was Sevilla, who played today on Monday, and they played against Athletic. They lost against Athletic 1-0. Last minute, beautiful goal by pretty much in the dying embers of the game, breakaway, and a goal, you know, brutal counterattack, and you know, they let Iñaki Williams wide open, and you know, he's obviously got super pace, and he ended up scoring a very nice goal to win the game 1-0. For Athletic, and essentially at this point, somewhat putting the unless the other results go their way, it would put the nail in the coffin, I think, for Sevilla's league hopes at this point. I mean, they have to depend on other results in order to get that. So really, it's once again the La Liga becoming the three horse race. But it's going to go down to the wire between those three teams. As we saw, Barcelona obviously lost the game against Granada. And that was, you know, a huge loss for them because, you know, really on points now we are head to head with them. And we are tied with Barcelona. And in that case, we beat them in the head-to-head if it comes down to the end of the season and we are tied on points. However, you know, we are also winning the head-to-head with Atletico, but Atletico at this point is 2 points ahead of us. They did not drop of the top four teams only on this match day, which ended today with Athletic versus Sevilla. This match day ended pretty much with Real Madrid, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid all keeping points, all, you know, continuing on in the battle. They all got their 3 points. Barcelona was close. I thought they were going to lose that game. And then, like, just in a span of minutes, I swear that team is so lucky sometimes. You know, Messi missed the penalty, is able to score it, scores a beautiful free kick. Carlos Soler scores an amazing goal to come back, you know, to try and come back. The game ends 3-2. They suffered towards the end there. And, you know, some bad defending for a goal that ended up, you know, Griezmann ended up scoring. So for the 2-1. So there are, you know, it was close. I thought they were going to be drop points. I think they were facing one of their most dangerous matchups, which was Valencia. And they did not drop points. So that, right now, you know, the best thing that could happen, I think, for Real Madrid, in my opinion, if we're looking at the remaining games, which there are 4 remaining games in La Liga for Real Madrid and for every team, Barcelona heads to Atletico. You know, Barcelona is going to face Atletico Madrid, and we have to see how that's going to turn out because, you know, it's going to be Atletico Madrid, Barcelona at the Camp Nou. They're always strong in the Camp Nou, but we saw them just recently drop points against Granada in Camp Nou. So Barcelona Atletico Madrid is going to be a huge game. And the thing is, it would benefit us if Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid or if both of them have a draw. It wouldn't benefit as much, in my opinion, if Atletico Madrid wins that game because Atletico has probably the easier last four games out of both teams. If Atletico wins that game, their toughest matchup after that would be Real Sociedad, and you know, which would be the following weekend on May 12th. After that, it seems pretty much an easy run for Atletico Madrid to get points. So, you know, we need them to either tie the game against Barcelona, or for the game to end with a win for Barcelona. So in this case, that would, if Barcelona wins, they would end up helping us more than they would end up help themselves. But also that obviously requires us to win all of our games. Because like I said, win against Barcelona, their toughest matchup would be the following weekend against Real Sociedad. And then after that, they have to face Osasuna and Valladolid, which at this point, you know, I don't know how hard those teams are going to be for them. I mean, Valladolid is still in the relegation fight, so that's always a tough battle. That's always a tough battle against, you know, with those teams. Osasuna, on the other hand, is not, so they don't have too much to lose. I mean, too much to gain, or they're not really fighting for anything at that point. So Osasuna, I think, can kind of be one that Atletico is going to essentially, I wouldn't say walk over, because I don't know if any of these teams are just going to let themselves be walked over. But, you know, when there's less things to play for at the end of the season, you're not fighting either relegation or you're not fighting for a title. You know, it could be where the coaches are not going to, you know, are going to try, you know, some of the bench players are going to see what they can do, try different things, because at that point they're not fighting for anything anymore. Or they could just do it for the honor in order to really screw up the aspirations of one of the title contenders. So you never know. But in this case, like I was saying, Atletico has really, if they beat Barcelona, it's going to be tough to take points away from them in those final three games. So really, this will be the first time that we're either hoping for a Barcelona win or hoping for a draw. Barcelona, if they win that game and then they go on to win their other games, if we win all of our games remaining, of all of our remaining games, we would beat Barcelona on head-to-head and win the league anyway. Again, this is all contingent upon Real Madrid winning every single one of their games. But what is each, you know, the discussion is what is each team's schedule for the remainder of the season look like? If Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid, the next game is Levante, Celta Vigo, and Eibar. Eibar is already relegated, or at this point, seems like they're pretty much relegated. What are they on? They're sitting at 26 points. I think mathematically, I think they're going to be relegated at this point, you know, unless there's a huge slip up by Elche or Huesca, but I don't see that. I mean, they're 4 points behind, so you know, Eibar would have to win their next two games and against, you know, and see, depend on Huesca and Elche. So at this point, you know, Barcelona would be facing Levante, who really has nothing to gain. You know, they're sitting pretty much comfortably in the middle table. It'll depend to see where they're at after the next match day. They're also, for, you know, a Celta Vigo that doesn't have much to gain either. And then an Eibar that's already relegated. So they have a pretty, like I said, are the teams going to play for honor? Are the teams going to play it safe? We would have to see what's going to happen with those games. When it comes to Real Madrid, our next game is against Sevilla, which I would say it's not that I fear, but I think that loss today is going to be very tough on Sevilla. They may still want to fight for a possible, you know, league miracle where the other, you know, other results go, the results of their rivals go in the opposite direction and they can still fight, and a win over Real Madrid would be good for them. So that is going to be, in my opinion, our toughest matchup. But Real Madrid really, out of all the teams, has the most to lose, or has the toughest remaining games. Real Madrid versus Sevilla in Valdebebas at the Alfredo Di Stefano is our game this weekend. Then we have to face Granada. Granada is a team that, you know, I think they're, you know, they're not going to have much to fight for either at that point, or at this point either in the season. But Granada is a team that's fighting to make its mark, you know, and they've been playing very well. They beat Barcelona. Like, you know, they didn't have really anything to play for when they beat Barcelona. They just did it. So it's interesting to see how it's going to play out. Athletic Club defeated Sevilla today. Athletic Club, I don't think, is one of the type of teams that's going to, given the rivalry, given, you know, there is with the teams from Madrid, with the teams from the capital and the Basque regions, I don't know if Athletic Club is just going to walk, oh, you know, just going to let us, walk over them. And that game is against, that game is in San Mames. And then we end with Villarreal, which is another team that is, in some ways, will depend. That last game and how hard they come at us is really going to depend on how tough the European fight is for them at the moment. They are currently sitting in sixth. They have a Europa League spot. But, you know, they're fighting with Betis for it. So it'll remain to be seen where they are, you know, in that fight when it comes down to that last game. But Real Madrid has really a tough schedule, in my opinion. Granada, Athletic Club, and Villarreal after the Sevilla game. It's going to be a tough one. I mean, I think Real Madrid, you know, and with all our injuries and the tiredness and all of that stuff that's going on, it's going to be really, really tough on the team. But we'll see what magic Zidane has up his sleeve, what magic, you know, we're going to see from our players. So let's go into, obviously, let's discuss the Chelsea game coming up. Obviously, there are, if we look at the schedule right now, there are five games left in the competition. There are five games left for Real Madrid in the season. Six games left in the season if we make it to the Champions League final. I'm going to say six games because, obviously, I feel like we can make it to the final. I really think we can beat Chelsea. Based on the game, you know, I think the game was dismal against Chelsea in the first half. I think we got away, you know, we got away lucky from that game. But my opinion on it is this: I think Chelsea really they threw everything they had at us. They weren't really missing any players, while we, on the other hand, were missing players. It was a rainy night for, you know, there in Valdebebas. It was a difficult game. You know, Marcelo had a terrible game against Chelsea. You know, as much as I think he's a legend, I think he should be let go as a legend and, you know, given all the farewells that he deserves. But that game showed just how, you know, just how much his form has dropped and how much he is a liability, no matter, you know, even taking away the defensive duties and playing with a three-person back line and having him, you know, play as a left wing back, he still left a lot to be desired. Of course, I think the goal that Pulisic scored on us, that, you know, was that beautiful through ball, that, you know, lobbed pass from Rudiger, I really think, you know, you could see that our, you know, our back line fell asleep. Varane, Nacho, they basically got beat. And that was what caused that goal. I really feel, though, that Militao has been incredible as of late. He showed it again against Chelsea. I felt like he was the, I think I wrote it on Twitter, I felt like he was the only player I think during that Chelsea game, it to me, honestly, it felt like the only players we really had on the pitch were Benzema, Militao and Courtois. You know, Militao was fighting for everything, trying to stop. I mean, he has been a revelation, and not really a revelation because, you know, he wasn't being given the time to really showcase his skill when there had been a lot of talk about him being this fantastic center back when he was with Porto. And it really goes to show you, and that is where I think the argument for people that talk about Zidane not letting these youth players showcase a lot of times their abilities, that has really been the one of the revelations where you see that, you know, when you gave Militao time, he has excelled and really shown to be a fantastic, fantastic player. You know, if he's going to be one of the future center backs for this team, it's going to be really interesting. But now that supposedly Ramos wants to stay, we don't know where that's going. We do know it seems like Varane may leave. You know, the discussion is that Alaba is already coming. So where does that stand with Militao? Where does that leave Nacho? You know, we're talking about four center backs that are all talented that could all start. So it's really going to be kind of wonder what's going to happen, you know, and it seems like Militao is, has stated that, you know, if Alaba does come, you know, he will be, figuring out what he's going to do with his career. But at this point, I would think it would be a huge mistake to let him go to any of our rivals. I think Militao is a fantastic player. He's a fantastic prospect. And at this point is showing, you know, that he could be possibly the future, as a lot of you guys have been saying on Twitter, almost, you know, I wouldn't, not reincarnation because Pepe isn't dead, but basically like almost a new Pepe, you know. So I love him. It's been amazing to see him play. And I'm wondering how we're going to start against Chelsea. As you guys know, today it was reported, as I said, we're recording this on Monday. It was reported that Varane is out. So, you know, it's going to be decided who's going to play. Is it going to be Nacho and Militao in the back line? Is Ramos going to come back now that we know he's available? We know that Mendy is available. How fit are those guys to really start? Who's going to start at right back? Is it going to be Odriozola? Are we going to put Nacho in that position and have Militao and Ramos and Mendy as our four-person back line? Or are we going to play with a three-person back line? We don't know. At this point, we don't know. But I'm thinking, you know, there is a lot. I think we should go with a four-person back line. You know, having the likes of Mendy back, or if we want to play them, you know, higher up and have, you know, a three-person back line with Ramos, Militao, Ramos, Militao, and Nacho, and then have the wingbacks be Odriozola and Mendy. That could be an option as well. But, you know, I'm a lot more confident in this game. I feel like and one thing I wanted to say about the Chelsea game is that I felt Chelsea really threw everything they possibly could have thrown at us in that game. You know, they had all of their players. They had Pulisic. They had Werner. They had, they brought on Ziyech and Havertz. And none of those guys really, in the second half, after a terrible first half, really couldn't capitalize on anything. And Real Madrid did a good job of keeping them at bay. Zidane, I don't know what he was trying to do. I think part of me thought he was almost like trying to survive and say, I got to get, like, one of the things I think Zidane is doing is just in a lot of ways almost playing with fire, because he's trying to get possibly the max he can get out of his players without injuring them or having them play more than they have to. But he sometimes has to do it. I mean, you know, with our midfield, you know, we don't have, you know, Kroos and Modric were pretty much a non-factor in that game. They weren't their usual selves, especially Modric. And it all comes down, I mean, you can't, you know, every player is allowed to have one bad game. And I think it's just, you know, that you could tell in that game that they were absolutely exhausted. They've been exhausted. I'm so glad that we did well against Osasuna over the weekend and that they didn't have to play. I'm very happy that we have options like Blanco and Gutierrez now as well. I think Blanco is another person that can definitely be a starter. It's already talked about that Gutierrez can be potentially a starter in the senior team starting next season. So there are a lot of interesting things happening. And I feel when it goes against Chelsea, I feel like this game against Chelsea, I don't know why, but I'm more confident than I was with the game against at Valdebebas. I think it's interesting. I do feel that we're going to walk away with a win. I feel like we have some of our very important players back that we needed in that first game. We have them back for this game. We also have our midfield trio back. and in this case, you know, they are at least rested. They've had at least a week of rest. So I'm really interested in what is going to happen in this game and how we're going to play this game. I think we have the talent to beat Chelsea. I didn't see anything from Chelsea that scared me other than their speed and their physicality, but we lacked that based on the fact that, like I said, our team was tired. And I felt our team was tired. I think having Valverde back as somebody who could potentially add both speed and physicality to that, to our midfield, which is something that Kante did an amazing job with. In the game, he was having one of those, you know, really good games. Will he have another game like that versus Real Madrid at Stamford Bridge? You never know. You know, sometimes it might be bad to have an absolute world-class performance in the first leg, only to have somewhat of a lesser performance in the second leg, when it seems to me, honestly, that we are coming into this game in the Champions League in Stamford Bridge on Wednesday, I think with a, I would say, more motivated. You know, we're still in the fight, you know, with the feeling that we're still in the fight for a La Liga title. We are still in the fight in the Champions League, that, you know, Sergio Ramos, our captain, is back, that Mendy, who is an important part of our back line, is back as well, that Fede Valverde is back, that Kroos and Modric are rested. I think it's important for the morale of the team that these guys are where they are right now. And I really feel like we are going to walk away from this game with a win, and that we are going to make it to the Champions League final in Istanbul. I really do think that that is going to be the story on Wednesday, guys. You know, I think it's reported, and let me just check real quick because I had heard it. I think Rudiger might not be able to play. Let's see. I just wanted to say, sure, welcome back into this. Okay, well, so it says Mateo Kovacic is a doubt for the semifinal second game, and but Antonio Rudiger should be back. So we'll have to see how that's going to go. I mean, they have Zuma to step up, but I really feel that Rudiger has been a better player for them this season. The German was definitely made an impact in the first game, obviously, scoring that assist for that pass that he gave to Pulisic. So, you know, them having lost either Kovacic or Rudiger will be something I don't know. It also seems that Mount took a knock, but I do not know if he's been declared that he's going to be out or whatnot. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, we'll have to see what's going to happen. But I really feel like this is a game where, this is a game where Real Madrid, I feel like Real Madrid is a better position to win. Even though we're playing at home in Chelsea, I think we're a stronger team. And we are getting back the important pieces of our team. We are getting back the important pieces of our team at the right moment. Not only for Chelsea, but also for the end of La Liga, which in this situation, we're going to be fighting against, you know, Sevilla is going to be, you know, going back to La Liga. Like I said, I already feel like in the Champions League, I feel like we can win that game. The question is, are we going to start with Ramos or not? Are we going to start with a four-man back line? Is Ramos going to come on as a substitute? He hasn't played any games. But now that Varane is out, is he going to step up? You know, who's going to play in the right back position? Are we going to have Nacho there? Are we going to place with that four-person back line with Nacho? What I assume would be Nacho, Militao, Ramos, and Mendy. Is that what's going to happen? Is Hazard going to start? Which I think Hazard has really shown in the last few games just, you know, how important he is. And just, man, if he would have had the run of form, you know, that confidence that seems to be so slowly building up in him again, if he would have had that at a sustained amount of games coming into this Chelsea game, I don't know. I mean, would it be amazing to see how he would perform? I mean, part of me thinks, that there might be an added desire for him to start this game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, at his old home, and, you know, play against his, you know, his former team. And I mean, I wouldn't know. I would say it would hurt him to eliminate them, but at the same time, you know, it would be a huge thing if he were the one. It would be a huge thing for Real Madrid and in his position at Real Madrid if he were the one that were really to lead us to a victory over Chelsea. So are we going to have that 4-3-3 with those, like I said, those guys in the back, Nacho, Militao, Ramos, Mendy in the middle, the three that we're always talking about, Hazard on the left, Benzema, and then I'm pretty sure they're going to start with Asensio, even though, I haven't seen, Rodrigo hasn't looked good in the last few games. I feel like Asensio has looked slightly better, although I think he's still, I think he's still lacking. But, that would be the lineup I would kind of have in this game. Although Vinicius is always dangerous, so to have him as well start out would not be that strange. But, we didn't see much of him in the game against Chelsea in the first leg. So it would be interesting to see how he would handle playing them in the second leg. If Hazard would be starting, would be a make a difference. And him and Benzema seem to match up well. I think they seem to match up with the midfield well. It would be interesting to see how with our main three, our old guard three of Casemiro, Kroos, and Modric, how they're going to match up with Hazard right there starting out with them. I think it's going to be, like I said, once again, I'm positive. I'm feeling good for this game. Hazard's control of the ball, the way he moves, the way he, his dribbles and his way to take on players and, open up spaces and really, good first touches and everything in order to, get rid of his marker and set up plays, and his creativity that we have already seen in these last few games, where it just seems like he gives a new dynamic to the attack. I really feel like this is something positive. And once again, like I said, it's just the thing that leaves me feeling a little bit better is the pieces that we've allowed to come back into our team, that we've had come back to our team with so many injuries. Carvajal is a loss, of course, but his performance wasn't as good as a wing back in the first leg. So it'd be interesting. I think Odriozola has actually looked better in these last few games, has looked hungrier. He's quick, his crosses actually were a little bit better this weekend against Osasuna. So I'm interested. I'm seeing, like I said, I'm positive about this game. I don't know how you guys feel, but we'll see how it goes. And with that said, obviously the other game is against Sevilla. Sevilla, I think it's going to really depend, you know, how our morale is after the Chelsea game. If we are in the final, I think we are going to be pretty much unstoppable. My feeling is against Sevilla. Then we will go into the next few games of La Liga, you know, with more rest and more ability to recuperate, which I think will spell, will be tough for our opponents fighting with us in the title. I think it's looking up for us, but it's crunch time. It's definitely time where we're really going to have to see how these guys perform, and what's going to happen. You know, every little detail is going to make a difference in these last few games. Every little detail. I think it's almost like you have to play. I mean, not to say, you know, everything that Zidane says is true, where we always say, you know, he always says that every game is a final, that every game is a final. It seems like when he instills that mindset in the players, they perform. So this is going to be an interesting one, because I feel like if we are to beat Chelsea, which I do feel we can do it, if we are to beat Sevilla, which I do feel like we can do it, it's going to be a tough game against Sevilla because of this, you know, setback that they suffered against Athletic. Obviously, I feel like they're going to want to take points away from Real Madrid to at least have a long shot to remain in the fight. So we'll have to see, you know. We're really going to have to see how everything's going to turn out. But yeah, it is, like I said again, the title of this podcast is Crunch Time, and that's what it is. It's absolutely that right now. Unequivocally so. You know, we have to do it. You know, we have to come in. Every game is a final at this point. There are five finals left, six if we make it to the Champions League final. And at this point, any little mistake from any of our players that could eventually lead to a goal, like that back pass that Militao gave to Courtois that just almost felt like he was going to score an own goal. You know, those type of things can't happen, you know. But it's hard. It's a lot of pressure for these players, especially at this point in the season. You know, there's you know, two hawks just circling, two vultures circling around their prey, which at this point is Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. We're all circling around for the same prey, and it's about who's going to get to it first, who's going to mess up, who's going to make the wrong move. I feel like Real Madrid's, for me, I feel like Real Madrid, even though we've been almost crippled for the entire season, seems to be hitting a good last minute sort of second breath. You know, when you get your second wind, they seem to be getting their second wind right at the right part of the season. Atletico Madrid is a little bit shaky. They were very shaky this weekend. And so was Barcelona, was shaky this weekend as well. Real Madrid looked, I think, more solid against Osasuna. And now it just remains to be seen what's going to happen. Who is going to blink first, as they say? But, man, I am excited and I am confident. I feel like we are going to pull this out. You know, it'll be completely disheartening to be this close and then end up with nothing. It would be amazing to end up with one of them. And then it would be absolutely, I would say, we would be ecstatic to get two of them, you know? And then I think honestly, if we were to walk away with both titles, after the season we've had, Zidane at that point would be untouchable. I don't think any of us, any Madridistas, would be able to have one negative word for him. I mean, as much as you might dislike the way he plays, or does not choose some of our youth, it would be an absolute he would be almost, at this point, I think the dude is made of Teflon, but I think he would be even more so bulletproof if he were to walk away with La Liga and the Champions League. I mean, he would go down as pretty much, I would think, the greatest manager we've had of all time if he were to do that. To win four Champions Leagues, that would be insane. And not only that, to win a Champions League and a La Liga title in this, you know, year and a half or so that has been just completely ravaged by injuries and a pandemic and, you know, drama outside of the field, such as, you know, whether it was the Super League fiasco or whatever you want to go call it with the Super League, the drama with the signings, the drama with the financial situations, you know, everything going on in Spain, obviously with COVID and the lockdowns and things like that. No fans, nobody in the stadiums, Santiago Bernabeu, you know, basically under construction, playing at the Alfredo Di Stefano. To do all of that, to win with all of that, would be an amazing accomplishment. Obviously, you can't just say it's going to be Zidane's accomplishment. It'll be an amazing accomplishment, especially for two players, in my opinion. Well, you know, four, in my opinion, which are Casemiro, Modric, Kroos, and Benzema. Those four guys to walk away from this season with those titles would be completely, completely earned. You know, because of everything they've done this season. Absolutely phenomenal, you know, season from those guys. I want something. That's why it's almost like for us Madridistas, we're walking on a fine line between absolute failure and then absolute elation or absolute victory. You know, we're walking on that line right now because we are so close to, it's very easy to basically right now slip up and lose both things. But it's also possible to win both things. And that would be an incredible thing to happen, you know. So we'll see. But it is in very, like I said, when I started this podcast, it was, I think it's insane to have started the podcast in this season of all seasons, 2020, 2021. It's been an absolute crazy season, to use that cliche term over and over again, but crazy, crazy season with everything going on. But it's the right time because, like I said, where would this podcast, I don't know where I would be for me being able to talk, like how would you be able to talk about things if you are, you know, it's funny because, you know, Premier League fans talk about how competitive the Premier League is. And you're watching what Manchester City running away with the title where like it doesn't even matter, you know, at this point, you know, no one's fighting for that, you know, no one's fighting for the title. Manchester City is so far ahead. So like, what's the fun in that? I mean, even Man United is already, 4 points ahead of Leicester? Well, Man United is 4 points ahead of Leicester, and they have a game in hand. And Man City is, 18 points ahead? I don't know, you know? It's insane, like, to think about, you know, that they talk about, you know, Premier League fans talk about how competitive it is. And for us to be where we're at right now in the league with Real Madrid and Barcelona and, you know, the way the team is playing, right, the teams are playing right now, where it's all going to come down to the wire, the excitement. And the craziness of this season has added to the drama where, you know, you have something to talk about. Because if you're a Manchester City fan, And let's say a podcaster for Manchester City, what is the, you know, I don't know. I think you'd be somewhat at a loss for words what to talk about day in and day out about Manchester City when you're like just completely dominating the league and you're winning every single game. What is there to talk about? You know, right now, possibly the only thing to talk about is, you know, the games against PSG and a run towards the Champions League and possibly a Champions League, a first time Champions League trophy. From where I am standing and being a La Liga fan and a Real Madrid fan, I think it's much more exciting to be a Real Madrid fan. You know, I think we're, you know, the fight is still there and there's always drama surrounding the club. There's always stuff going on rather than running away with the league and supposedly the running away with the league in what should be quote unquote the most competitive league, you know, for how much shit they talk about it. And I love the Premier League, but I just dislike that they have everyone else is a farmers league compared to them. You know, you can't call any team a farmers league if, you know, you're running away. Any team is running away. Last season, it was Liverpool running away with the league. This season, it's Man City. I mean, it's like, yeah, you have your big six, but one of them is running away with the league and you already kind of know who's going to win. At the some, you know, towards three quarters of the way into the season, you know, at this point right now, with the way we're looking at La Liga, it's coming down to the bitter end, you know? And I think we're the only league right now that is like that. Serie A already, you know, we already know Inter Milan is going to win. When it comes to Ligue 1, you know, what are they looking like? You know, what are they doing right now in Ligue 1? Lille is ahead of them. Oh, well, you know, it's going to come down to the wire for them too. You know, Lille is ahead by 1 point against PSG. So, you know, that will come down to the wire. So it's funny because the ones that they call farmers leagues are the ones that are showcasing. I mean, I wouldn't say La Liga. Yeah, La Liga is... It's always a battle of like three titans and then the rest, you know, but Ligue 1, I mean, it'd be interesting to see Lille walk away with the title, you know, after so much dominance of PSG, just the way we've seen with Serie A, the interesting, how great it is that, you know, after dominance of 9 years with Juve, you know, we're finally seeing another team lift the trophy. Which is Milan, which, you know, it's another titan of the Serie A, but it's good that dominance. I mean, after 10 years, that's already like, it's like a dynasty already at that point, Juve. So that's all really I have. You know, there's a lot of things that are riding on these next few games, you know, and it's both nerve-wracking. And it's both nerve-wracking and then at the same time exciting, you know. Remember, guys, that you can always contact me at info@inadamas.net if you are interested in writing for us, writing for our podcast. You know, we have Trombach on board who's writing for us. But if you are interested in writing for us, please contact me at info@inadamas.net. And let us know, you know, send us a writing sample, introduce yourself, send us a writing sample. Maybe, you know, tell us a little bit about how you felt about the last game or how you became a Real Madrid fan. We kind of make a determination on how you write there. And, you know, you could join the club, join the team as we try to grow this podcast as we're coming to the end of the season. And we'll see what happens. Besides that, also remember that you can follow us at Inadamas Podcast on Twitter, which is where I am most active, at Inadamas Podcast on Facebook, and at YNM Podcast on Instagram, which please, if you are an Instagram fan and you are somebody who is on Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow, because we are trying to grow our Instagram account. So that's at YNM Podcast. And then, of course, as always, my one thing that I hope you guys can do for me is please head to Apple Podcasts or I Love the Podcast facebook.com/Y Nada Más Podcast and rate this podcast. Give us a rating, give us a comment, help us grow and get to more people. I thank all of you for listening. I thank all of you for being involved, for, you know, liking, for commenting, for sharing, for telling your friends about it. This podcast thankfully is growing, and it's growing each time more. We are 32 episodes in, and we couldn't have done it. I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't getting, people that were listening. I like doing it. I like doing the podcast and just talking, talking about Real Madrid and my thoughts. Like I said, man, I'm not a journalist. I'm just a fan. I'm a fan just like you guys, and I'm giving you guys a voice. If you want to say anything, if you want to comment, if you want to, I might read it on air, whatever, drop me a line wherever. And then also, of course, like I said, Trombach and I he'll probably be on the next podcast. So after the Sevilla game, we will jump on here and discuss Real Madrid and what is going to happen this week. I mean, we will either both be very sad or very happy. It's going to be an interesting one. So we will see, guys, and I will talk to you again soon. Thank you again for listening to Y Nada Más, and I'll talk to you guys again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.